Good evening, and welcome to the L.A. Steel Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And Lila thinks we should have a full minute of that intro song, and maybe she's right.
I like it.
I do like it.
All
right.
Well, we want to welcome you to Friday Nights with George Dixon.
And just for the hell of it, I'm going to play 30 seconds.
I was trying to get Leo to tone it down with the volume, but he didn't understand what I meant.
I wasn't sure.
Like,
but anyway, yeah, we understand now. Yeah, we are technically savvy.
And you just go zoom down,
yeah.
and then you can just go right into the show. But anyway, welcome to Friday Nights with George Dixon, and he should call us up in just a few minutes, and he'll be on the line. And tonight we're going to talk about
the Mayan calendar, the 2012 polar shift, fractal consciousness and multidimensional realities, and the ninth wave.
I'm not sure what the ninth wave means, though, Leo. I don't know anything about that.
I've been trying to probe that out of George for a few shows now. And here he is. I think we're going to get to it tonight. We're gonna really try to understand what it means. So, all right. Can you get that?
I'm trying. There he is.
Go.
Hey, George. Welcome to the show.
Why, thank you. Thank you. Always nice being with you folks.
We like having you here, and we were just talking about the ninth wave, and Leo is determined to talk about that tonight. So I want to say, start with the ninth wave and tell us what it's all about.
There we go. That's what we'll do.
Okay.
But first of all, how you folks been anyways?
Oh, we're good.
Hanging in there.
Yeah, it was a beautiful day here in Connecticut. Warm.
You
we just be. Had hail, so it's a cold front came through.
You must have had a good day today, too, didn't you?
Yeah, we must have been in
the high 50s.
Yeah, but we needed something. I think the melt of snow and ice that we've had around here. That's quite a build-up the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice day overall. They chemtrailed the hell out of the skies today, but, hey, that's part of being, that's part of our being now.
In the 21st century.
In this day and age, you gotta expect these chemtrails. Not that we like them and not that we're, we want them, but we have to understand that they are there.
It seems like part of our being.
And somehow we gotta get people waking up to see these damn things.
But anyway, we want to talk about the ninth wave.
Yes,
we're determined to talk about that.
George,
give us a little education on the ninth wave, because I don't know what you're talking about when you say that.
We want to enlighten the world on this thing, you know.
it's part of the underworld, and it's just a period that we're going into, and let me tell you what this ninth wave means.
Okay.
And let me just make a statement here. And I think this will wrap up the ninth wave. On October 28, 2011 of this year, will be a time when all the strings that brought us to this point in time and evolution of consciousness will be cut off, and we will be free from all outside influences. Now, what did I just say?
You said that we would be, all the strings would be cut, and we'd be cut off from all outside influences, but I'm not sure what you mean by that.
Well, at the end of the world, at the end of time, or the end of this year, will be a time where we will be completing all that we know. And at that point, we will be set free to do others or go in different directions. It will be a completion of something we started a long, long time ago.
It seems to me like that means that you die. That's what it kind of means. It means that you're finished with whatever is happening in this lifetime, and you move on to the next.
Well,
so you do die in a way.
Lifetime.
Pardon me?
why do you have to say this lifetime? Why does it have to a lifetime have to end?
Well, whatever it is that we're here for, we've completed and we move on to the next. So it's, in a sense, it's a dying. It's a closure of what's ever happened here. That's what it sounds like.
Well, between now and then, it's going to be a hell of a ride, that's for sure.
Yes,
Let me go back and talk about the ninth wave and the eighth wave.
Okay.
The eighth wave basically started in 1999.
Oh.
And so it's fairly recent. But what it did do is it combined the right side mental thinking of our species. And you could say it was a shifting in this precession of the equinox back to the feminine quality or to the feminine role or power. And I said before that, you know, the power struggle, the power now is shift over from male to female. And this was the final completion in the eighth wave of that happening. And this has been building, if you want to go back 20, 30 years with, you know, the women's lib movement, if you want to call it that, and how they liberated themselves from, you know, being barefoot and pregnant in the home, raising children. But this basically is the mentality that people had coming from the 30s and the 40s. But I don't want to get into any stereotyping, but it changed. And now it's a woman's world, and it will be that way for at least 12,000 years. But you girls got it back, and it's great. And it's part of the change that we're going through. Now, even though the feminine power now is in control, and it is a time where we stop looking at the world from a dualistic standpoint, male,
mm-hmm.
male. And this is where we go into the unity consciousness, where we combine both together as equal, and we connect through the unity that they share together, and we share with them. It's a time where we come out of our focus points into a unity consciousness, where we all have similar energies, if you want to call it that.
And, George. Who used the term ninth wave? Which culture used that?
Which culture?
Yeah, was that from the Mayans or?
Oh yes, the Mayans. Yes.
Okay. All right.
How we doing? We knew we were dealing with the Mayans here. I just
wanted to make sure that's the culture that used the term ninth wave. Okay.
Yeah. It's the underworld, and it's whatever.
Are you okay?
Right, so, what can we say? Any questions?
No. The major question I had was what the hell is it? I mean, what? I mean, we're dealing now with an increase in time. An increase in time, a rapid increase of time. And what are we going to be looking at by the time we're March 9th. Where are we going to be? I mean, what is going to happen there? I mean, what is really going to happen? Are we going to see this sudden change, or are we going to be? Are we going to start seeing these governments and societies and everything else start to topple greater than they are now, or is all of this just part of that ninth wave? I mean, what are we in for? Are we looking at an economic downturn? Are we looking at the end of things as we know it, or what?
Right. Now, I gave you the explanation of the academic, from an academic standpoint.
Right.
Now, let's take a look at what the hell is going on in this world. And,
okay.
Everything is not peaches and cream. Would you agree?
Well, absolutely. I mean,
yes,
I know, what catches your attention now? The things that's going on in the world.
I guess I just look at, like, right here in my own state, so many people are being laid off from their jobs. I mean, that's with the governors and the mayors.
Yeah, everybody's trying to cut these budgets and trying to, you know, off the backs of people rather than try, you know. And what I find is that everybody is so regressive as opposed to so progressive. Rather than looking for a progressive solution, they're all trying to look for a regressive solution. Like, you know.
They're not very creative. They keep using the same old tools that we always had that didn't work. Instead of using, like, innovative things like, let's think about a state bank, which is something that Ellen Brown has been on our show has talked about, which would be a real solution for a lot of the states to solve their fiscal woes. Instead, what they do is they lay off 800 employees.
Right.
And those 800 employees will have absolutely no chance of getting a job anywhere. And then they have the nerve to say, my budget is about jobs. I don't understand how they can just stand up there and lie.
Yeah,
the governor of this state isn't the only one.
He's planning to cut 5,000 state jobs to save the budget, and yet his platform was to make jobs. I'm a job creator.
They haven't thought creatively about how to solve the problem. Why use the same old ways that didn't work? Why don't you think about thinking outside the box and get something a little creative?
Right.
But, you know, the solutions are right in front of them, but they just won't use them. They don't have the nerve to use them.
That's right. That's right.
The other thing that people don't understand is that, you know, they think we're in huge debt and we're running up the deficit and all this. What they don't understand, they use that rhetoric to scare people, but what they don't understand, in order to create money, you have to have debt. That's the way it works today.
Right,
because we don't have any real money.
No, because everything's based on fiat, you know, currency.
Right, and people do not understand the economics of it.
And not even that. It's not even fiat currency.
Well, it's blips in the sky currency.
Yeah, basically just electronic blips.
But
so,
the more debt you have, the more money you have in the system.
The more money it's in the system, and the more system that you...
And that's better for the economy
right.
on the whole.
Yeah.
Do you understand that, George?
Oh, I understand it completely. But I don't think you understand the game that's being played out here. Because we've already gone through this. Gone through this the last year and a half, 2 years. We've looked at it. We've watched this stuff deteriorate and go right down the hole. And yet, you can't put good after bad. It's not gonna work. Everything has got to collapse, which is what's happening right now. You can't hold on to it. You got to let it go. And it's only a matter of time before it completely collapses. And if you take a look at what's going on around, see the governments, how they're actually falling in. Take a look what's going on over there in the Middle East. This is just the beginning. And it's not that. It's in this country. The unions are up in arms, which I don't take sides in a sense, other than people are not happy. It's because of the politics that has been played out for so many years. The illusion is open, or it's exposed. So I think that's the illusionary understanding that we have of things is being exposed for what it is, and everything from the top down. Even the IRS, the banking systems, this way of government. And, Leo, you know, you talked about the political movements that are going on. There's quite a few of them going on in this country, and not just here, around the whole world.
But if you
take a look around now, things are happening, and yet what's happening is crumbling in, and it's just falling apart, and it will continue to. But I'm saying this will all come to an end. I really feel this at the end of this year. And that's in that October 28th timeline that I talked about, 2011.
Right.
It will be the time where everything will come to an end. And we will be cut off from what's held us into this track. It will be released. and we're free to go our own way. And,
so we won't be in hard servitude anymore?
Without a doubt. We will be entering a time of co-creation. And I think in understanding the seventh day that we're in right now, it's part of our orientation toward that co-creation of life and of just consciousness. And it's not until the end of this time where we become co-creators of the reality or of the consciousness that we're receiving. But in the meanwhile, we got to bring to an end, you know, the old way so we can start a new way. And it just so happens, if it's something that's on a negative sense, there's always a crisis and you have to go through that crisis in order to experience the full impact of the newness of something that's new. So we have got a lot to do between now and October. And if you take a look around, you'll see that it's in motion, some by our own hands, but some by Mother Nature. I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing the natural catastrophes that people are experiencing.
Well, I was looking at something different here, because what's between the wave of revolution that's happening in the Middle East, we're starting to see a wave, that wave ripple here, because we're seeing a swell now, because 13,000 people in Wisconsin swarmed the Capitol building, went into the Capitol building, and demanded that the governor, knock off the bullshit, okay, of trying to...
They all ran.
Yeah, and 13 or 14 Democratic senators took off because they didn't want to vote on, they didn't want to be forced to vote on this bill, all right, that the governor's budget. Now, the governor wants to take away,
civil rights.
The unions, okay, the AFSCME, which is the...
American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees.
All the municipal employees and county and state employees, they want the right to bargain.
And bargain.
All right, the right to bargain. I mean,
collective bargaining, he wants to get rid of.
This guy's one flaming freaking idiot, okay? And to see 13,000 employees jam the Capitol building, waving banners and going after these bastards, all right, is like, you know, that's
about time.
Yeah, I mean, usually they stand outside the building, usually they wave around and, you know, da 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 da. This is a one active confrontation, no different than, you know, this is one of the best things that we've ever seen. And I guarantee, if this shithead here in Connecticut, this governor, intends to do what he's planning to do, all right, we're going to see that kind of rally here too, and we're going to start seeing rallies like that all around the country. All right?
It's not starting to see
the streets.
It's like when stuff started up in Egypt, they were right. They were demonstrating in New York City at the UN. You didn't see this stuff on the news, but
of
you
course.
Have to understand it was not only
was
there, but here. And there's a lot of things going on in this country that the media has been able to hold off or hold back. And, even the news that's coming out of Egypt, you know, what kills me is that you see photographs or you see pictures coming out, but everything is distorted. And you have no internet connection and you had no telephone connection. So, you know, it's just control. And, I've heard a lot of people say that a lot of the army were with the people, in this demonstration. But who am I to say, other than it was going on, and what you're saying about Wisconsin and the politics in your state, I mean, it's pathetic. It really is. But, you know, it's got to fall, and, you know, you can't hold it up because it's got to make it fall so it can be rebuilt or restarted anew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I just took on a brand-new cause, all right, and I became the Connecticut coordinator of it, and it's for to create public banking, a state bank, and we're going to doing some research now with these guys, and there's a national group, grassroots group out there that's working on this, and they've got seven states right now in the country
who have bills to form their own state bank.
And there's only one state in the country that has a state bank, and that is North Dakota. It is the only state in the union that's solvent and has a 4% unemployment rate. Right? And this is fantastic. So
what do you need a bank for?
Well, you need
We need it.
You need a bank to create the currency, but you don't need 100,000 banks, okay? Or to do it, because these bastards will rob you. But if you have a state bank, all right?
You need 52 state banks.
52 state banks, right? Every state. So
a bank is a bank. What do you need a bank?
Money.
You take your money and you put it in your pocket.
No, I'm talking about the state here. Talking about lending the money, the state can borrow, and the state can borrow any amount of money it wants.
If they need to have a road project, they can borrow from themselves.
Exactly.
At a very low interest rate.
And they create the money.
They create the money. The taxpayer money goes in there, and they can borrow nine times based on that at a very low rate.
That's right. And that's actually been increased, according to Ellen, to 12 times. So for every $1 that they have on deposit, they can lend out $12. All right. So
then you could deposit your money in that bank too.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's perfectly solvent bank, you know, and
the state collects the interest on the money that's lent.
Right.
Rather than paying the interest to some Wall Street bank and borrowing money from them at a huge percent.
Right. So anyway, that's why
I'd like to see state banks.
But that's for another show. But that's a wave. That's part of this wave of independence, of getting out of debt, getting out of this getting out of this this nightmare that we're in now. And
turning your financial of qualities over to somebody else is not taking a bull by the horns and taking care of it. You don't need a bank.
Well, the state does.
For.
How are we going to take care of the hungry and the poor? We need to have a bank. We need to have money for them.
Let's get back on the other subject, because
they're two different people.
I'm very curious to see what happens come March.
We and me are two different people.
Huh?
What?
We and me are two different people. When you say we, what do you mean by we?
I'm only talking about the state of Connecticut. We need to take care of our people who can't take care of themselves. We need to provide health care for people. That's what I believe in education.
We also need to be able to lend ourselves money and not be dependent on these freaking private bankers and investors. Instead, you got the taxpayer money. Okay.
From your state of Connecticut.
All the
taxpayer. And take care of your people, your roads, your infrastructure, and your health.
Yeah.
And your education.
Right.
That can all be taken care of if you have a state bank.
But you can't do it with these goddamn private banks.
Because they take a huge slice off the top.
This is
taking care of yourself.
Right. But I believe that this is all part of this ninth wave as well. You're starting to see.
This is what I was talking about before. You know,
waking up to the fact that they can do these things, okay, and that these things can be done.
You don't need
Wall Street. You don't need the government. You don't need Washington to tell you what to do. I mean, the states are doing it. People are doing it, every day, and that's part of the waking up. People are seeing what's going on around them.
And if you band together in your state and you make some common sense decisions.
But it's part, again, of the unity consciousness that we've been talking about since time immemorial here.
Then you don't have to lay off 300 people who have no chance of getting a job.
That's right.
That does not make any sense at all.
You're just putting people out, middle-class people, out on the streets. I mean, that's basically,
will not have any money to put into the economy,
right.
Will not be able to afford their
homes, and that's not an
effective way of dealing with
it's a ripple
crisis.
Effect. It's just destroying.
I got a sad feeling that things are going to get quite worse between now and summertime. A lot more people are going to hit the unemployment lines again. A lot of people are going to be thrown out on the street. And, you know, you're going to see a lot more open.
But you're not going to see this. You're not. No one's going to know about it, okay?
Oh, yes, I think so.
I think so.
I could see it now, I think, in some of your store fronts where you have three or four stores that are closed down and more are closing every month. People aren't spending like they used to spend.
Well, they
they're spending for, you know, on 99 cents.
Yeah, but then,
but when it comes to real goods and so forth, nobody has the money to spend. They're too busy paying their bills.
That's not so, because at Christmas time, they were up at almost 10%. Okay.
Wealthy.
No, the businesses, okay,
mm-hmm.
the retailers were up 8 or 10% this year.
Well, they slashed. Everything was slashed.
Doesn't matter. They were still up in profits.
They
over,
got
you know.
Rid of their inventory.
It doesn't matter.
The cost of fuel this winter is tripled. So, you know, I just feel bad for people who are living a budget and can't afford it. They have no control over it. I mean, what is it for gas now? $3.25, $3.33. It's ludicrous. It really is. And you know how long can this go on? People just don't have the money.
Well, Cannon, but Cannon's crazy. It's like
they said. What I heard on the news that it's going to be $5 a gallon by the summer.
I don't believe it though.
I do believe.
Yeah, they would destroy the economy again more than it is already. It would just destroy us. You know, and they can't. They know they can't. They know
what
they
does
can't.
That mean if it destroys us? How will it destroy us?
Well, it'll destroy. When it got up to $4 a gallon for
nobody
diesel,
went anywhere.
You know, all the truck drivers stopped. They couldn't afford. You know, they couldn't afford to operate. All right. So they stopped delivering foods and needed supplies, right? And planes were airline companies were starting to go crazy and bankrupt and everything else. They couldn't afford the jet fuel at $4 a gallon. You know, nobody could afford this, and they can barely afford. They're just breaking even, man. It just right now at this $3.35 or something a gallon. That's about as high as you want it to go. It can't go any higher. It will break the backs of the American people. And it is already. The only reason that Europe and other countries have this $7, $8, $9 a gallon bullshit is because they don't have to use their cars to get anywhere.
They go a quarter of a mile to work if they go a lot.
They have
public transportation at a reduced rate.
Tremendous public transportation.
You're right, but I want to say one thing, that before Russia went under, people were being killed because they were stealing their potatoes out of the garden, and they were killed because they were robbing the houses of pots and pans and aluminum so they could take them down and put them in for the smelting properties. So, you know, let's take a look at what's going on here. A lot of these foreclosures, and take a look at a lot of property that's being destroyed, but also being sold off. So don't say that it couldn't get that bad here. I'm saying that we have to watch out because we have a lot of people to feed, and a lot of things, and a lot of tensions from all different angles are just going to people.
The difference between here and there is that here we have almost 70% of the people own guns. Here,
you're right, Leo. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a big difference, man. All right, and here you have patriot movements. You have movements that are happening.
Even though they're trying to be quashed.
They're trying to be quashed, but they're not. They're growing rapidly. You can see it on the internet. You can see it on Facebook. You can see it on all these websites and so on. You see what's going on, and you realize that people are uniting, okay? They're uniting.
Through the internet.
And they know. And you got guys sitting there with stashes of ammo, stashes of food, stashes ready for this crap to happen. And they know it's about to happen that by within the end of the year, all right? They know that the banking system is going to collapse. They know this government's going to try to pull martial law, all right? And they're standing there ready and willing to fight this thing and fight and kill whatever they have to. They already know that there's foreign troops on our soil. They already know this, and these things are already happening.
And detention centers.
And these FEMA detention centers that are being planned, if they're not already being used, all right, for dissenters and so on. So it's like this crap is happening, and you got this asshole Obama, all right, who's nothing more than a shill, all right, for the globalists and the Illuminati and the banksters, all right. This is what this bastard is. He's a worthless piece of crap, okay, as a leader, and I'm a pathetic leader. And
he's not a leader, he's just a puppet.
A pathetic president, okay? And we've got problems ahead that are just not gonna happen. Just not gonna be solved.
I wanna take a minute here and just come out of nowhere. What can we do?
We told you what you could do. You could begin by having a state bank to help people be solvent.
No. Let's get out of the mess. There's got to be an officer that can take us away. That has got to fall. But there's another way out of this.
What is it?
I don't know. But it's a better one.
If you don't know what it is, how do you know it's better?
The way we can all combine and meet on one level, and that's with the heart, and live in harmony together.
Well, I think in order to live in harmony together, George, you have to begin to take responsibility for yourself. And that's been part of the problem. People haven't taken responsibility. They've given over all their decision-making to all these other people who naturally don't have their interests at heart. They have their own interests at heart.
Yeah, I mean, people give up their right, their spirituality and their their churches and their religions. They give up their political thoughts and their political
parties.
To political parties. They give up their monies to the banks. This is stuff that is really unbelievable. But if you have a state bank, if you have a public bank, it's owned by the public.
It's owned by the people.
But
okay?
What is the bank going to do? What is it going to change clams for you? I mean,
what it does is it changes the whole landscape, because suddenly you're not dependent on these fucking robber barons, okay? And you have
in Washington.
And you have honest civil servants operating a bank that is taking care of and charge of all of the funds of the state. And on top of that, for every dollar of the state funds that it collects, let's say it takes in $5 billion, all right, it can lend itself and lend the people
$45 billion.
Exactly. Okay, 9 to 10 times more. All right, and create all of that wealth back into the city, into the state, into
which,
the infrastructure,
which
into
means,
the schools,
which
into
means you'd
that,
have,
yeah,
you'd have a lot of business developing, people working, people feeling happy.
Because those banks, that bank is committed.
Obama did that. He gave, $700 billion?
Business,
right?
George,
he did not.
Anything. What did he do?
He gave money to individual companies.
How much
he
did he give up?
To the bankers who gave themselves $100 million bonuses. All right.
But how much money did he give to the businesses?
He gave shit to the businesses.
He gave nothing.
He gave $700 billion, right?
Yeah, I'm sorry. He gave $14 billion to bail out Chrysler and General Motors. Okay.
And what did it do?
But you know what the Fed did? They gave
$3.5 trillion,
George. They gave $3.5 trillion to bail out foreign banks.
That's
all
where
right?
the money went.
They gave $14 billion to bail out the U.S. corporations, all right, and a billion, about a billion.
The body count over the Middle East, too, please.
$700 billion, all right, to bail out our banks, all right, and they gave $3.5 trillion to bail out the foreign banks.
That's Deutsche Bank, Bank of Scotland.
Right. Royal Bank of Scotland.
Let me get back on this again. I was just making a point here. There are options, and the options have nothing to do with this banking shit.
It does, George.
It does, George.
Because if you can have
life goes on without banks, dear.
Just listen to me for a minute. If you can have a healthy economy with people working, with businesses flourishing, that's what it's all about.
And credit flowing.
Except they have a business to go to, not a healthy economy. Economy, period.
Well, no, what we're saying is that if you have a bank, state bank, public bank.
Belongs to the people.
That belongs to the people. Whose charter is basically stating that we are lending to the people of Connecticut, let's say.
Or the people of New York.
Or Oregon, or wherever, you know. Their total job, mission, is to create employment, to create businesses, to help business owners, to help the state, to help these programs, to help the schools, to help whatever, you know.
To get a health care program for each municipality.
Yeah, to help the municipalities create a health care program for each state. But, you know, these things are vital, all right, vital services. And yet, you know, to create a viable economy and a healthy state.
And a good infrastructure.
Yeah.
Why don't you use that vital energy you have and imagine a world without banks and live with that illusion.
I like that idea, George.
All right, then that's an option. That, you know, there, you know, get rid of this
small
details.
It'd be a world without
details.
It'd be wonderful.
Leave it.
Nature doesn't work like that.
But, yeah, human nature is not that way. We're not, you know, we're money.
What does human nature have anything to do with?
The physical life.
Where does human nature come from? I didn't say anything about that.
Oh, okay. So humans are involved with this discussion. Is that what you're saying?
I want to see. There's got to be some redemption here, folks. And you know, world is not a black. World is white.
Well, that's what we're saying to you. Use your own creativity, George.
God gave us some ideas. Got me in trouble to begin with. Got us all in trouble. And that's something that we can't hold on to. It's falling apart, and it's going to crumble. Even the understanding of money, the value of money, the only value of anything is electronic stripping or magnetic strip with your number on it. That's the only thing that is of value. It's how many you have and how it's used. It's like money itself. It's just a ledger in an electronic book.
I agree, but I can't. I don't.
This is what's coming to an end because this has caused all the problems, not only here but in the whole world. That's the problem we're having. So that's coming to a crumbling end. So you know this is out of our control at this point. But I'm saying between now and November the 9th, things could change very quickly, and we're not too far away from that point. From that point on, you know,
I thought we were on 28th. November 9th, I'm lost now on the day of timelines here. Well,
all right, now that's,
is it
that's the start of the
October
9th.
October 28th or November
that's
9th?
9th.
Huh?
March the 9th.
Well, March the 9th, and then October 28th.
That's this period.
That's the big banana there.
Right, but right now we are coming from the 8th to the 9th, and that 9th is going to kick in on March the 9th. So, right. You know, I hope for your sake, whatever you got going, you know, you better plant yourself because it's going to take you for a ride. And
well,
that's what's happening right now. You know, what comes around goes around. And wherever you've been or wherever your intent is, you'll be picking this up and going 10 times speed. It's like going down, a toboggan sled ride. It gets faster as you go down, and, you know, it's going to get very fast. So whatever, wherever you are, whatever you've done, you've done. Whatever you haven't done, you can't do now. So you're left for the ride, and you'll be experiencing that. So,
well, I'm going to keep working until I have the ride. So that's the way I look at it. And
you're on the ride now, dear.
Well, if things don't change radically, I'm going to work to make things change this way. Because state banks, I think, are a good idea. It's a good answer. And employment is a good thing for people. It gives them purpose in life. You can't have a lot of people unemployed, because that's a very dangerous thing for everyone when people aren't involved in purposeful work.
And I think it's an idea for the future, or at least for the present, because what it does is once people understand what it is and what it can do, then what happens is this wave, as you say, this wave of unity consciousness, all right, will just catch on to that, and these reforms will be made.
And they'll take place.
And they'll take place. You know, people will vote this in. You know, they'll convince their legislators. They'll convince the powers that be, and all of these things will change. Because, you know, right now,
We can't have any more people laid off.
No, we can't. You just can't. And the only reason this 9% unemployment is there is because so many people have dropped off the unemployment rolls.
More like
20%. I mean, these 99ers, they call them, 99 weeks of unemployment. You know, they say that there were millions of them that dropped off, all right, the rolls this year. And that's why, in this month, okay, and that's why it showed a drop of to 9%, where before it was 9.8%. It's not because they made, 100,000 new jobs in 1 month.
No, it isn't
going to make a 1% rise in the unemployment, but a million man drop off the unemployment rolls, all right, because their money expired or their benefits expired, that will make the drop. Okay, and it's no different than these damned inflationary guys that they use, all right, to show inflation. They don't include food prices, they don't include housing prices, and they don't include gas prices. Okay, so what do they include?
And food and gas are the ones that have gone up the most
housing, food, and gas. They don't include those things when they depict inflation. Okay.
I don't know what they include.
Well, they're talking about price of production of goods. Okay.
Hmm.
Well, since 99% of everything we do now is made in China, with people making $1 a day, all right, what they're saying is all the cost of goods has gone down, so therefore inflation has gone down, even though they don't count the fact that housing, shelter, food, and clothing, and all the basics, okay, in our lives have exceeded 30, 40%, 100% inflation, all right, over the last few years. We've seen tremendous rises in food costs,
gasoline shortages
costs,
in other places
in
the world.
And now you got food shortages everywhere, and 100% rises, 100% rises in the staples. Okay, so it's like
rice, wheat, and corn.
Right. So it's like with these things where these things aren't included in these stupid tallies. Okay, that create inflation. All right, and they're artificially keeping, the Fed is artificially keeping the interest rates extremely low. All right, so you know that it's all a part of the game
And then we'll be able to help third world countries form their own banks, so they're not. They're not held hostage to the World Bank.
Right.
Which is just basically formed to steal all their resources and their land.
That's right, because they lend them incredible amounts of money, all right, and attach
and
all their
and
natural
they,
resources.
And they can never pay them back.
And then they sell
them
off
something?
To corporations.
What?
you know, instead of giving countries, other countries, money, you know, I think what we should do is all those Americans out there, and every week they get on, after they get the paycheck, they cash in, they go to their stationery store, and they buy their lottery tickets, right? So, I mean, some people buy 5, 10, 20, 30, 40, but, you know, it's a thing that people, they're entrapped into that, and they buy these lottery tickets. I would like, instead of spending, let's say, $4 or $5 for a lottery ticket, spend $4 and take that dollar and give it to the church. Give it to the church because basically there's a starting point for people who are homeless and are looking for a handout, looking for a bite to eat. And, you know, people know they're going to lose the money. The money ain't going to make anything. But, you know, it's like pay it forward. Use that dollar and know, you know, that it's going to be used somewhere instead of lining somebody's pocket. And, you know, what bothered me years ago when they started this lottery was because of education. They say, well, we're making all this money, and we're going to give it to, you know, our educational needs.
It doesn't
and,
go there. It ends up in the general fund. We're all
well,
policy.
You're right there. But, you know, only $40 million, let's say, out of, a $500 million, you know, $40 million of that only goes to education. The rest goes into the system. And, you know, it's pathetic. But I'm saying to really feel good about doing something and helping people, take that dollar and put it to work instead of losing it to somebody's pocket. And, you know, it's what we need right now because we all have to pitch in, but we don't have to give a lot. One simple dollar, even 50 cents a week, would help. And, you know, some of these food lines that are out there, my wife and I were in the center of town, and a guy is on the corner. You know, I'm out of work. You know, I have no place to live, and he's looking for handouts. And you know, of course, people was giving him money, and it's scary because I've seen this happen before, and it's happening again, and it's going to get worse. And
we have to
if nothing else, come together in some kind of a unity mold, unity consciousness, if you want to call it that,
go back to this statement that is one of the brilliant statements. You give a man, teach a person to fish, all right?
Yeah, I know.
Learn to
I know,
fish.
Leo, I know.
Feed him for a lifetime, give him fish, he only has
one meal. So it's like,
to help people move ahead themselves.
But
they don't need handouts.
Right, but this is why we're talking about this banking system. I mean, giving your money to.
I don't know how you do that, Leo. You bring it right back to that banking system.
I mean, what the hell are you going to give it to the freaking church for? I mean, a church ain't going to do nothing with it. What are they going
to
do?
They are. Right. They're going to give it to somebody who needs it.
Give it out. They're gonna say a couple of prayers. Give a guy a couple of bites of spaghetti.
A soup kitchen. What can I tell you?
Give a guy a freaking job, okay? Then the guy can work. Then the guy can eat. Then the guy can support his family. All right. This is what I'm trying to say. You give to your church. It doesn't matter. Give to your church. But what I'm saying is you're taxed. Everything you're taxed on. All right. In Connecticut, we're taxed at 5% or 6% taxes, all right, income tax, all right?
Going up.
All right, yeah. So, and then we got a 6% sales tax, and we got this tax, and a property tax, and all this other shit. Okay, all of these taxes go into either the municipal or the state general fund.
Into a Wall Street bank.
And it all goes right into a Wall Street bank, into a...
Bank of America.
Or wherever the hell they put their monies, okay? If they set up their own bank, all right? If they set up a state of Connecticut bank, all right? Those monies would be as safe as in Fort Knox, okay? And you wouldn't have some assholes, you know...
Trying to get
it. Not only trying to get it, they've got it. But, you know, spending, gambling on derivatives and giving out bad mortgages and, you know, giving their executives $100 million bonuses, all right, you, all that corruption is out of there. You got a state-run organization, all right? You got, and all of your money, all the taxpayers' money, okay, goes to the benefit of the taxpayer, okay, as opposed to the benefit of some private bank.
Of the Wall Street president and vice president.
Yeah, what gives Citibank the right to hold $3 billion in Connecticut assets, okay? All right, you know, taxpayer assets, or $5 billion, or whatever the hell the assets are, all right, and then say, oh, we can't lend to you because, you know, we're not lending anymore. Well, you know, up yours, buddy. All right, instead, you got a bank, you put that into a state-run bank, okay, and a state-run public bank, and the bank is guaranteed to lend that money to small businesses, lend that money to the people.
Back to the
mortgages,
state for
lend
what?
That money to get to the state itself, to get, you know, to itself, all right? Create that wealth, create those jobs, all right? And instead
to
of
give fuel oil to the people that can't afford it.
I mean, off with their freaking heads. I mean, kill all the freaking bankers. Who needs the goddamn bankers? You know, it's like you don't need them, all right? Hey, you don't need these private banks whatsoever.
Or insurance companies.
Okay, or insurance companies. You can self-insure. You know, it's like this
and that's
is,
something
this is
the
a,
state should do.
This is something that this is where unity consciousness. This is where this concept.
That's where I
will
see
come.
It going.
When you see collectively, people are benefiting. Okay. From that, and their funds are perfectly safe. You can put as much or as little or whatever you have.
You
can
put your money in
whatever
there.
You want with it. They're not going to seize it. They're not going to, you know, it's there, okay? And it's more protected.
I want to find my money so I can give it to you to put in the bank.
Yeah, well, you go, you know, right now, if you had $500,000 in some goddamn bank, they couldn't give you the money back if you went down to get it. They don't have it on deposit.
Nobody.
They lent it out. All right. You go down and you say, I want my money. Give me
and
my
say,
500
yeah, good
million
luck to
bucks.
You.
All right, give me my $500,000. Say, oh, gee, or sorry, you're only insured up to $100,000 there, buddy, and we're folding. I just saw a list of all the banks in the country. I mean, there's nearly 500-600 banks right now, private banks that are ready to fold. Some of them very large banks.
I hope mine aren't.
No, but no, your bank isn't on that list.
Torrington.
About the heart.
What's that?
Did I ever tell you about the heart? The heart is a 7-chamber liquid oscillating crystal.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's got to do with a loaf of bread.
I don't want to know what that's all about.
Understand that the energy from that living crystal and create your whole world. And it's through your imagination, and it's through love and your emotions that it happens. But you got to think it, or you got to feel it, believe it. It's not bound by a normal science and time. It's instantaneous. There's no time with this. The heart lives in the now. It beats in the now. So it's something that's happening now, not something in the past or something in the future. And that's where the mind cannot play, because the mind can't be in the present. The mind has to be in the past or it has to be in the future. So understand that crystal oscillating thing in your chest is the source of everything that you are, and it touches the outside world. But the brain does not. The heart is in connecting with anything and everything. Period.
Well, I understand that, George, but, you know, and I believe that my heart is leading me to this concept. And
I look at people who are unemployed and I don't like the way they look. Their hunger.
Feel their pain and feel their hunger and
their worry. Oh God, it's horrible.
And you know, and illness and all these things.
I don't want those things first for myself or the people I love or for anybody else.
No.
Even the people I don't like, I don't want to see that happen to them. It's too horrible.
I know. I mean,
to be unemployed, to worry about how you're going to pay for your health care, to worry about your children.
Or your mortgage.
Or your elderly parents, or where you're going to get your next meal, or can you afford fuel oil?
Yep.
I don't like seeing things like that happen to people. And
there's a way to prevent that.
I want to work toward
I'd work toward that goal, and I see.
And that's where my heart leads me.
Right, and my heart's been leading me toward this goal, right, of public banking as a Connecticut coordinator to lobby for that and to promote that issue, and to develop that grassroots effort here in my state. Because there are some great people that are pushing it all over the country. And making headway, and I believe that this is the way to do it.
Just makes good sense.
Very, very good way to do it. And
we already have a model where it works.
Right. So.
In that state, the people seem to be in much better shape.
And I'd love to see single payer health insurance. Okay. I'd love to see people able to afford affordable health insurance. You know, people be able to get their teeth fixed get their wounds fixed or their whatever happens, but not be afraid to go to into an emergency room
or
a doctor, you know, because they can't afford it. These are things that have to be eradicated from our society, George. And,
well,
you know,
eradicated or maybe just changed a bit. Maybe it's the way we look at it.
They have to be eradicated in the sense that they
change.
Well, people, in order to reach that level of unity consciousness, that nirvana, if we ever want as a society, as a world, as a species, those are the areas that we have to focus on and become that change.
Well, there has to be rethought about
how we're
doing things medically, because it shouldn't be that we should be gambling with people's lives and be making money off people being sick or dying.
Right.
I had a nice talk with my doctor last week. I had a nice talk with my doctor the other day.
Yeah? What did he say?
And me, take care of me. It's that we work together. You work for me. I work for me. We all work together. If I'm not feeling up to par, I'm not feeling up to par. It's not to be questioned by you or me. It's we are doing this. It's not you. So, I take my health.
Paying that guy $3,500 an hour or so, whatever the hell he's worth. All right.
I wish they got $3,500 an hour.
Hey, I got one schmuck that was asking that kind of money.
Well, he's not getting
it. It's just a system, Leo. Yeah. So don't blame him. That's what's got to change, and that's what's changing now.
You can't complain about the medical care you got.
No, I do, but
they were
worth
every cent. I hope they get it all.
Yeah.
Well, I hope.
1 minute remaining.
A minute of fun, Leo. I know that.
Now let me remind people that if you want to continue this conversation with us for a few more minutes, we're at 646-915-9505. Again, you can call 646-915-9505. We got 58 seconds left before our stream ends. Again, 646-915-9505. And we hope that you will join us and hope you enjoyed the show. So anyway, George, that's what Lila and I want to see. We hope to God that, that's something that...
I like to see people have jobs.
Yeah, we do.
I don't want to see 300 more people laid off. I just think it's terrible.
Or 3,000 or 300,000 or 3 million people losing more jobs this year.
It's just a horrible thing, and people losing
just
their
jobs. Okay. Understand that the industry which had that made up that job is no longer there. I mean, if you take a look at the steel mills in Pennsylvania, there is no such thing. Because a lot of this stuff we've exported out to other countries. So, first of all, we have to bring industry back. And even to fire up, Detroit and some of the founding plants there, a lot of them have been closed down because of, you know, budgets and so forth. But, you know, we got to start all over again. We really do.
Because they made it easier for them to go. They made it all right for corporations to move their products, their organizations overseas.
Yes, I know. But see, Leo, puts a lot of people out of work. And what we got to do is bring those back. It's just like in the swell of the 90s or the 80s, a lot of our industry member moved to Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
And that was great. But understand that the best of the best that Mexico had to offer left Mexico and came to the Americas. So they were left with plants and so forth down in Mexico, and they had nobody to run them. So they had no intelligence down there holding them together.
Yeah, and they didn't have anybody. Nobody could freaking read or write down there either. They had to set up schools and stuff like that for people that basic English, basic math, basic everything. But the other thing that's interesting about Mexico is that Mexico now is refusing to accept the dollar bill, all right, accepting American
or
currency.
Or genetically modified food, I think, either. Who else has been taking genetically modified?
I think we should sell them back to Mexico.
I think they should nuke Mexico. Why not? They're just
you guys take care
of over here anyway. It's just, just get rid of those damn.
You know
the problem. You know, if they got rid of that damn government, okay, it's just unbelievable. You know,
as corrupt as ours.
More so, the richest man in the world lives in
is
Mexican, and he lives in Mexico. The wealthiest man in the world lives in a third world country. All right, and been exploiting that country since day one. You know,
why do you say is that how he got his money?
Yeah.
The guy owns a network. He owns communications networks and so on and so forth. But you know, he's benefited from the just like they do here in the FCC rulings and all that. He's benefited from all the corruption and bullshit and the payoffs that he could pay off the government there to allow him 90% or so of the
no competition.
You
can make a lot of money, George.
Right? Of all the media, no different than that asshole Berlusconi in Italy. I mean, that guy owns almost all the newspapers as well as the television stations, and he's the prime minister.
The one thing he doesn't own is the women of the
our
country.
Our president, and the women of the country. I mean, a million of them came out against him. Yesterday, the day before, in a public protest. But you know he's a slime bag, but you know he's also
a predator.
The most powerful man.
But somebody's got to be the slime bag or the predators. So why not him?
Well, why should he be the power, my guy?
Why should we accept that people?
Why should anybody accept that kind of piece of crap? Okay,
right.
Why?
So we can throw him out and find somebody else to replace him.
Should be shot, you know. I'm sorry.
No,
I don't want a person like that making decisions about my life.
No, these kind of corrupt people should be in prison, and instead they're president.
Oh yes, but the normal businesses, you know, that's the way of life.
Now, they're crooks too, you know.
That's true. I mean, look at Enron.
look at Enron, but that son of a bitch is sitting. Kenny Lane is supposedly dead, and Skilling serving 26 years, okay, in a federal pen. So that's fair and just, okay?
Right, okay.
You know, justice.
Really, I'm just saying that I wish there was an easier way to be let down, you know. But that's what we're experiencing now in the next couple of weeks. What comes around goes around, and this is all part of that pre-9/11, or pre-3/9
pre-March
9th. Right. So, understand, you know, comes around, goes around.
Well, on that note, I'm going to say good night. And it was nice talking to you, George. And
well,
I hope you
nice
feel
talking
better.
To you, dear, and I'll catch you in a while.
Okay.
Catch you in the wave.
All right.
Yeah, I hope you feel better, George.
Why, thank
you. Take care of yourself.
All right, thank you.
All right.
I'll be with you, dear.
I'll be with you, too.
And, that's where we're at, George. And I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks to see what else happens.
Yeah, okay. I'm I got a lot of things going on here, but you know, just keeping an eye on the news. You hear about that New York representative that he just resigned because apparently he got.
That clown, because when was it?
Craigslist.
Oh yeah, he was on Craigslist. He posted a
picture they sent to a woman.
Yeah. But a Craigslist girl, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can't make this stuff up, you know? And it's crazy. That's where our representatives are going, you know?
Yeah, you just wish a guy like Peter King, you know, who's the biggest prick in New York, why doesn't he, you know, he should resign, just because he's a monstrous prick, all right? But,
well, if you start pointing fingers, you got to point fingers at all of them. And, you know, here again, whoever lives in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. But I don't think you'd have to worry about that.
I'll throw boulders, man, at these guys. I mean, to knock them out. I mean, these guys are scumbags, man. I mean, they're continually being reelected by crazy people. I don't know what the hell is the matter with their constituents. See through these clowns. I don't know what it is, but part of it is that no one runs against them. All right. So I mean, we got some assholes up here. They've been in office forever because no one runs against them. All right. So I mean, it's pretty easy. I mean, all they have to do is vote for themselves, and they get reelected. You know. So
Leo, it's the passion of one man who gives us the understanding of compassion toward our fellow people. So
that's
I'm just
true.
Saying, you know, what comes around goes around. Give them the best, and you'll never go wrong. We're all human. Good night, my friend.
We're all human, George, and we'll leave on that. But you have a good night, and we'll talk real soon.
Okay, good night now.
Thanks for being on. Good night. And I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight, and hope you enjoyed the show. And that's that. So join us next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday nights, and we will be here. Thanks for joining.